That's a long, long time. So generations of God's people, the only thing they knew was Egypt. First, they came in as, you know, welcomed and highly exalted and very, you know, favored in the land. They got Goshen. They got the best part of the best land. They got fertile fields, and it was great. It was wonderful. And then it went downhill from there. Ended up being slaves in a foreign land. Their children knew nothing of freedom. The people, the parents knew nothing of freedom. God heard their cry. God always hears our prayers. God hears your prayers. God hears my prayers. And He is able to deliver us. Amen. It doesn't matter what state we're in. We live in a very wicked world. We live in a very oppressive society. You know, our society wants to try to force us to think certain ways. That if we don't think certain ways, then it's we that are wrong. Even though we believe the Word of God. But we live in a society, in a world that would say, I speak hatred because I speak the truth of the Word. It's a messed up world. And yet, so I can relate to their plight. They live in a very oppressed land. We live in a very oppressed time. There are people in our society that know nothing except Egypt. They know nothing except a sinful society. They know nothing about what the Word of God really says. The people prayed for deliverance. God heard their prayers. And by a miraculous, overpowering favor, God delivered them. You've heard the story. I'm not going through the whole story of the plagues that Egypt went through and Pharaoh that was so hard-hearted. They went back and forth. Let my people go. Somebody probably saw the movie. But it was much more miraculous than they ever displayed on television. It was much more miraculous. It was much more powerful in real life. The death angel was the last plague. You see, the firstborn of every household and of every animal was affected by this plague. The firstborn of every kind, every home, every house, every family, the firstborn in that house was going to die on that night. And there was very specific, detailed redemption that was provided by the instruction of God. Relayed by the man of God, Moses told them to take that lamb on the 10th day and on the 14th, keep it in the house, keep it right with you, keep it protected, let it be in your home, shelter it, have it be with you in the house, and on the 14th day they were to slay the lamb. Very specific instructions was the application of the blood. They took that blood from that slain lamb and they put it over the top of the doorpost on the entryway to the house. The front door, if you will. And on the side posts on each side. So you think, why would you smear blood on the front door of your house? It was because they obeyed the word of God. It was obedience. It wasn't a maybe or might or sometimes or for these and those, you know, it was different. No. You did this one thing in all the land, or that house would be subjected unto the judgment of God. I tell you, there is a judgment that will come on our world. And the philosophy of men is that, oh, God is good to everybody and everybody, all dogs go to heaven. It's just a lie from hell. The Word of God is very specific. The Word of God is very deliberate. It's very, it tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That in the name of Jesus Christ is how we are to be baptized. And it's for the remission, for the payment of sins. That application of the blood was a foretelling of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. They had to follow it explicitly, directly, and correctly in order for it to be enacted, in order for them to be exempted from the judgment of God. That land that they were in, it was a wicked land. They had all kinds of false gods and deities that they believed in that were not true. Our world believes in a whole bunch of messed up stuff. This world has got wicked philosophies. But we have the Word of God. Amen. This experience, the death angel passing over, is where that term pass over came from. And what we're celebrating tonight is remembering that it's continuing that remembering of the Passover that happened in the Old Testament. We should never forget what God did. We should never forget how that God fulfilled the promise of the Passover. He became the sacrifice. I reject those thoughts of God, you know, what daddy in his right man in his right mind would take his son and let him be killed by the authorities? No. Jesus Christ robed himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ voluntarily, willingly, knowingly, purposefully went to Calvary and gave his life a sacrifice for sin. Wow. That's what Jesus did. In the Exodus, then in Numbers chapter 9, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 16, God established an ongoing feast of Passover. They were to remember it annually. It was supposed to be done by everybody in the whole nation at least once a year. More, sometimes. If you wanted to, you could. But at least one time each year, it was an annual event. The feast of Passover. It was a major feast in Israel, and it's still commemorated today. We commemorate that very event here today. Two important aspects of that original Passover, the lamb that became Jesus Christ. It was a type of the foreshadowing of the sacrifice that Jesus would provide for us. And that the people had opportunity for the death angel, the judgment of God, to pass over them. There is a judgment on the earth. There's a judgment on individuals that we that obey the Word of God have the opportunity to have pass over us. I don't have to go to hell. People who go to hell go there by choice because they choose not to obey the Word of God. It's their choice. But if you choose to go with Jesus Christ and be saved, you can. Amen. What a great gift. I'll tell you what. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I refuse. If I burn up 10 minutes of your time, well, I hope you'll forgive me. I didn't give you this scripture, but please, if you would, put on the board Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1 down to verse 14. So that's a column and a half in my Bible. Exodus chapter 12, beginning to read at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. He was going to change the calendar by this event. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month, ye shall take to thee every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him, or next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating, his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. So keep it in the house 4 days. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. It was something they were supposed to do together. Everybody on the same evening, the same night, do the same thing. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, don't boil it, at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs with all the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. In this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast day and ordinance forever. I'll cease there. I think I got some sinus stuff going on. Excuse me. It was a time, a thing, a event that was meant to be remembered. The disciples were taught by Jesus. We're going to look in Scripture. We're going to read from that even now. He's going to give them an explanation of how it's to go forward. You see, Jesus changed time. Before that, it was done a certain way. And after Jesus and his instructions, it was to be done a certain way. He gave very clear, explicit, detailed instructions. I don't hope to add anything to it. And certainly, I want to be careful not to take anything away. I just want to read the word and do what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning to read there at verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh the damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if ye would judge yourselves, ye should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may not, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. I hope tonight to express six key places in Scripture, six thoughts from the teaching of Apostle Paul that I hope to highlight here tonight. First is that Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, it is broken for you. Jesus was saying, the bread is a symbol of my body. There's lots of messed up teaching in our world about communion. Let's just keep it right like it says in the Word. It's a symbol. The wafers don't become the flesh of a person when it hits your... That's absolutely false. There was other teachings that teach other things. You know, they don't take communion because it would be taking damnation to their soul. No, that's... It's said, examine yourself and then take it. We are supposed to look at our own selves. And if something is messed up or not right, make it right with God. You can repent. You could have some secret sin in your life right tonight. But when you examine yourself, be honest with yourself and with God. and ask God to forgive you. And He is faithful and just. He will forgive you right then. God wants to forgive you. He's waiting, willing, and able to forgive your sin. Amen. It's we that we doubt or we think that, oh, well, I can't get forgiveness. That's absolutely impossible. Is your sin so bad that it's worse than the death of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. There's nobody ever born that could ever compare with who Jesus is. There's no comparison. Amen. So that wafer that we take is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. It was broken. They scourged Him. They beat Him. They smote Him. They spit on Him. They said bad words to Him. It was horrific. Terrible. The crucifixion. But Jesus did that, subjected Himself willingly to that, that we might be saved. As the bread is broken, so shall my body be marred, stripped and broken for you. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah 52, verse 14, His visage was so marred, more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. Nobody else took a beating like that. It was only Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. The Old Testament prophet was specifically speaking of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Secondly, let me highlight this. This do in remembrance of me. This action that we do tonight is a memorial or in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We take of the bread remembering what He has done in our lives. Let me pause right here. What would my life be like if I continued being an alcoholic and doing drugs and being promiscuous? And if I continued in that life of sin, if I continued my life as I was before I came back to Christ, what would my life be like without Jesus? I tell you, it would be a catastrophe. So yes, Jesus forgave my sin, saved my soul. Yes, Jesus gave me the promise of eternal life. Yes, all the greatness of the Word of God is fulfilled in me because of Him. But the side note, my life has been so much better because of what Jesus did. Because I serve the Lord, my life is so different than what it was. You know, I see the lives of those that chose not this path that I grew up with. Even my own family members that went to the same church that I did. Heard the same sermons that I heard. And when they went off the path, life went downhill and stayed down. No, I tell you, you can repent and come back to Jesus, and He will restore you. But your only hope to get right is to get Jesus. That's what Jesus is doing right now in my life. And then I get a whole better life. I get a whole better wife. I get a whole better kids. I get great grandkids. I have everything. Everything is better because I serve the Lord. Everything in my life is better because I serve the Lord. And I want to remember that Jesus made this life possible for me. Amen. It's very personal to me, in case you didn't notice. Every good thing in my life, I give Jesus Christ credit for. Every good thing. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Passover, we are reminded that God has fulfilled His promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of that Old Testament promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of my own life. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. Read the back of the book, we win. But it's all because of Jesus. Remember what He's done for you. That's what this is about today. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 and 34 says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make. Skipping down, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Moving down into verse 34, "They shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." Man, you got to be thankful for that. Every one of us have messed up, did wrong. Every one of us deserves the penalty for sin. But it was Jesus Christ that gave me the promise that He will remember my sin no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and then verse 12. "I will be their God and they shall be my people." Amen. Jesus Christ is my God. And I am a part of His people. I belong to Jesus. Amen. "For I will be," verse 12, "for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." Be thankful to God that He is the fulfillment of this promise. Amen. Third thing I'd like to highlight: after this manner, He also took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now that's grape juice in that cup that you're going to partake of. It's not actual blood. It's not wine. It's the fruit of the vine. Unfermented fruit of the vine. It's a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for many for the remission of sin. Jesus Christ shed His blood for every one of us here today, and all those that aren't here today. He shed His blood for us. Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It is only by the name of Jesus Christ that our sins can be paid for. Our sins are not remitted by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's no remission in that because they didn't use the name of Jesus. There's no remission by other names, any other name. It's only in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God made this possible for us. Isaiah 1, verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God could change, God can change any or every person that wants forgiveness. They can have it through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how bad you were, what you did, what you came from, the family you're from, the neighborhood you grew up in. Oh, because you were abused as a child. None of that even matters. If you want to be right with God, Jesus Christ made it possible that you can be right with God. No exceptions. We sing this song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I tell you, Jesus can put the nose back on a leper's face. Put an ear back on. I'm looking in our church for diabetes to be healed. For cancer to be healed. For all manner of diseases to be put out. He is the miracle working God. God still does miracles today. He is the miracle. He was and is and will be the only miracle worker. Amen. Fruit of the vine, these small cups, symbolize His blood that seals the covenant, the promise. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us able to be saved, to have our sins remitted, paid for. It is in Jesus. Hebrews 9, verse 22, without shedding of blood is no remission. Can't be done without Jesus. Fourthly, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Now I know we did it last year and years before, and we've done it many times. But we're going to do it now. And next year I want to do it again. Lord willing, I'm here the year after that. I want to do it then too. I want to keep remembering what Jesus did for me. I want to keep the celebration. I want to do what the Lord told me to do. They had it annually. They were told to do it annually every year on a certain day. They did it every year, year after year, decade after decade, for hundreds and even thousands now of years. They've been doing this. And yes, I want to do it too. Amen. I hope you will too. I hope you will as often, at least once a year. There is no set time in Scripture. There's no frequency where it's not spelled out in the Bible as to when or how often that we are commanded to take communion. It says to do it, and as often as you do it, remember. Fifth, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Unworthily. It's a very special word. Perhaps, maybe it is a very misunderstood word relating to receiving communion. Paul said unworthily, not unworthy. I am unworthy of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. My life is not worth his life. Neither is yours. Unworthily, the word unworthily was used instead of if the word unworthy was used instead of unworthily, no one would measure up to who Jesus is. Not one person ever born in the entirety of time would ever measure up to Jesus. Jesus was unique. He was God manifest in flesh. He was the creator of the heavens and the earth. Himself on earth. That is who Jesus is. None of us are worthy of him. But it isn't anything you or I do that can make yourself worthy. I can't do enough to be right enough, to be good enough, to be equal with Jesus. It's just impossible. It's just not. He paid the price for us. Paul specifically directed attention to the attitude in which we are to take communion. In chapter 11, outlines six ways that to participate and partake. We are instructed to partake in it, but not unworthily. Let me give you some example. Verse number 18, don't take communion with envy and strife in your heart. There's some bad feeling about someone, ask God to forgive you. And he will. Number 2, with suffering or surfeiting, don't take it surfeiting and drunkenness. Don't come in here lollygagging and high on drugs or high on drugs or drink and, okay, give me some. No, that's not for you. You need to be serious about this. You need to remember what Jesus did for you. That's what it's saying. Don't take it irreverently. Don't be irreverent of who God is. Have respect for who God is and his church and what we're doing here today. It's a very special event. That was number 3. Number 4, with unbelief. If you don't believe there is a God, then I would say you should just watch. Don't take it. When you take communion, you are to remember who Jesus Christ is, the Almighty God come in flesh, given himself a sacrifice for us. He changed my life. If you don't believe all that, if you don't believe the truth of the Word of God, then my advice to you would be just be a partaker. I mean, observer. Thank you. Don't participate if you don't believe who Jesus is. But if you do believe who Jesus is, the Almighty God, and you are remembering what Jesus did, then you should take communion. As an unsaved person with sin in your life, without repentance, you should not take communion. Without examining your own self, that is, judging your own self, you in your own mind, you weigh, is there anything I need to ask God to forgive me of? If you do, ask God to forgive you. You could do it in seconds in your mind. God, for that thing, please forgive me, and he will. He does. It's his promise. God keeps his word. So examine your own self. Repent when needed. So that you can escape the judgment. That the judgment of God will pass over you by his word. Word of caution. Communion is a serious part of our walk with God. And should not be taken with indifference or apathy. It should have meaning. It should be special. It is for me. Amen. From verses 29 and 30, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Number 6, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourself, and then do it. That's what the Word of God says. Each person needs to examine himself, herself, whoever you are, and then do what is right, repent if you need to, and then take communion. Before we receive communion, we should spend just a few moments together, and we will, on how we're supposed to take communion. Number one is we need to repent. A repented life is a forgiven life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you're done, just repent. You've asked, if there's something in your life that's not right, repent. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Man, I don't want to. I have read the back of the book. And I don't want to be judged with the unrighteous. I want to be a part of the number of the believers in Jesus. Amen. Bottom line, if we judge the sins in our own life, ask for forgiveness, and put it away, you may need to decide, I got to stop doing that. Then we are not judged by the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we're chastened. Sometimes it hurts. But it's going to be good for us to follow after the Lord. Okay, another thing. Ask the Lord to cleanse us. To give us a clean heart. And a right spirit. Psalm 51 verse 10. Create in me. Get that now. Isn't that great? Maybe I wasn't like that. Maybe I didn't think that way before. But God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Praise the Lord. What an awesome thing. Number 3, recommitting our life to Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'd like to ask our ushers to come to hand out these sacraments, the fruit of the vine and the bread, the symbols of bread. If you would you stand with me? We're going to partake in communion right now. Well, however many, there's enough there for everybody. So one of each thing to each person. I'd like one, please. Thank you. Praise the Lord. As far as children go, parents can decide. Does your child know who Jesus is? Can they remember who Jesus is and partake of this sacrament? That's for parents and those children to decide. I'm not saying you have to be a certain age. You just need to know who Jesus is. You need to have repentance in your life. You need to do those things I just spoke of. Amen. So we'll wait until the ushers have went all the way around, and everybody that wants to participate up high and up here and in between, everybody in the house, make sure everybody has an opportunity to partake. And just hold on to it until everybody gets some, and we'll do it together, okay? I'm going to read a verse of Scripture, and we're going to take the bread together. We're going to read another Scripture, and we'll take of the cup together in just a few more moments. Just hold on to it. Praise the Lord. If you know who Jesus is and you can remember what he did for you, then my advice is to repent and participate today in this event. Praise the Lord. As many as will, join us. I would that our whole church was here. I wish that every visitor that's ever been here would come. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing for all of us to remember who Jesus is. What he has done. Jesus changed my life. And I am so thankful for that. See on the right in the back. Sister Brown, there may be another one on the right in the back. Look over there. I think there may be another person that needs some. No? Okay. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else that needs still to get there? Up here, up in the platform. Please come to the platform. Okay. They had their hand up, and I didn't know what they needed. Okay. I think we're ready. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and 24, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." If you will, take the symbol of the bread, the cracker that you have. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'd like you to take this time right now to remember what Jesus Christ did for you, that he gave himself. Now, if there's something in your mind that you need to repent and ask God for, you can do it right now. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, I am so thankful for what you have done for me. Lord, I pray that you would forgive, Lord, any mistake that I've made, that you'd forgive me, that you would help me to serve you, God, that you would, Lord, help me to remember, Lord, that precious thing, Lord, that you did for me, that you gave yourself, Lord, for me. I'm sorry for messing up. Lord, I need you in my life. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful, Lord, for your word, for the remission of sins. Lord, that you made the sacrifice for sin for me. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Would you partake and take the bread right now with me?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. In verse 25 and 26, let me continue to read. After the same manner, also he took the cup. If you would, take the cup that you have in your possession. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Would you remember that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that our sins could be remitted? Verse 26, "As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." It's not going to end. It doesn't stop anywhere. As long as we're living for God, I hope you'll remember who Jesus is. Would you pray right now and remember that sacrifice of his shed blood for us? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I pray, Lord, that your blood, Lord, I want to remember, Lord, the sacrifice that you gave on the cross at Calvary. The sacrifice of your precious blood, Lord, for the remission of my sins, of our sins, of the sins of the world. Lord, I pray, I thank you for it, Lord. I remember it, Lord. I want to remember what you did for me, how you changed my life. You changed everything in my life by the shedding of your blood, by this precious promise, Lord, that you've given unto us. Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Would you partake of the cup now with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Oh, the blood, redeeming blood, Jesus' blood shed for me. Oh, the blood, saving blood, cleansing blood, Calvary. Oh, the blood, redeeming blood, Jesus' blood shed for me. Oh, the blood, saving blood, cleansing blood, Calvary. Oh, Lamb of God, crucified, for my sins he bled and died, and oh, how precious is the blood. Oh, the blood, redeeming blood, Jesus' blood, shed for me. Oh, the blood, saving blood, cleansing blood, Calvary. Oh, Lamb of God, crucified, for my sins he bled and died, and oh, precious is the blood. Sing, oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No. Bye.
Scripture for our preparation for foot washing. I've got two places in scriptures, and I'll let you be seated. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 15, moving down in scripture a little bit. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. You may be seated. Again, hope to answer just a few questions. Five things here I'd like to point out. Foundational questions concerning the practice of foot washing. There are many organizations, churches, religions even, that have foregone this portion of Scripture. They don't do it anymore. It's maybe inconvenient or some other reason. But it has significant in Scripture. It is significant in Scripture, and we're told by the Word to do this. Amen. First question, what is the origin of foot washing? Where did it come from? First mention of foot washing in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 4. Little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet. It was a common practice in that day. Abraham and Sarah entertained three men in the plains of Mamre. When the guests arrived, Abraham offered water to wash their feet. As you walk through the Old Testament, you find that foot washing was a part of that ancient hospitality. There's several Old Testament references. I'm not going to read them for sake of time, but let me mention them. Genesis chapter 18, verse 4, 19, verse 2, 24, verse 32, chapter 43, verse 24, all in Genesis, and Judges 19, 21. 1 Samuel 25, 41, 2 Samuel 11, verse 8, Song of Solomon 5, verse 3, Psalms 58, verse 10. You get the idea. It's lots of places. It's mentioned over and over again in Scripture. They all show that washing of feet was the first act of hospitality when a guest entered into a tent or the house after a journey. It's That's where it began. That's what their practice was. It was their custom. Parts of the world, it's still the practice. India, for example, or the other places, it's still a practice of hospitality for travelers. It's practiced in Palestine today. Second question, who participated in foot washing prior to the time of Jesus? In the richer houses, the foot washing was done by servant, by a slave perhaps. It was looked upon as the lowest of all the services in the house. In the case of ordinary people, the host furnished water and the guests were able to then wash their own feet. Foot washing clearly was a subservient task. In ancient Oriental culture, wives might wash their husband's feet, students might wash their teacher's feet, an employee might wash their employer's feet. The third question, what exactly did Jesus change regarding the ancient practice of foot washing? He changed it completely. Entirely. First, you have to understand that John chapter 13 is not unique because their feet were being washed. In fact, it was practiced in most of the houses in every town in their society. Every day they did this thing. What was unusual was that Jesus, who he was master, teacher, he in fact is the Lord, and it was he that was doing the washing. It was completely turned around in his example. He, Jesus, was washing the feet of his disciples, not the other way around. And he was doing it specifically to show them. See, he took the towel, wrapped it around his waist. He took the part of the lowliest of servants and washed each of his disciples' feet. The fourth question, why does the church practice foot washing today? Well, go to Scripture, John 13, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garment and was set down again and said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? He was teaching them a lesson with this example. Verse 13, ye call me Master and Lord, he admitted it, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus is Master and Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. He was telling them, showing them, explaining to them what they should do. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Fifth question, what is the point? I'm going to try to be brief here. It's submission. Somebody say submission. I don't want to say everybody say it, but somebody's not going to say it. But I heard at least one person say the reason why Jesus did this. He's teaching us to submit. Sometimes we just need, not because we think so, not because we think it's a good idea, we just need to submit ourselves unto the Word of God. Just because the Word says it, we should do it. Submit ourselves. 1 Corinthians 16:16 from that verse says, submit yourself. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Ephesians, the next verse, 5:22, and also in Colossians 3:18, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Submitting is a theme in Scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. The world doesn't like to do that. Carnality doesn't like to do that. The flesh doesn't like to do that. But yet it is good for ourselves to submit. It's a theme in Scripture. James chapter 4, verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. It's a mindset. It's what we are to do in our Christian walk. It's submit ourselves one to another. When I wash the feet of my brother, I want to do like Jesus did, just as he did with the towel, wash their feet, dry them, pray for them. And while you're getting your feet washed, I hope you'll pray for that person, that God would use them. God, help them to be submitted unto the Word of God. Lord, help them to be submitted to the Holy Ghost. Lord, help them to be obedient to your plan and your purpose. God, fulfill in this man or this woman, Lord, your purpose for their life. Submitting ourselves, therefore, unto God is the example that Jesus gave. Amen. That's the bottom line. That's the reason why we do it. Because the word tells us to, and we submit ourselves unto the Word of God, we do what it says, and as Jesus gave his example, we also partake in that example and do what he did in foot washing. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to stand in just a moment. I'd like all the females, every woman, girl, to stand and go into the fellowship hall, and all the males, men, boys, to remain in this room. Even if you're not participating in the foot washing, would you please go to the designated place for that, for the men, or for the men stay in here, women go in the fellowship hall. Would you stand with me? Let's pray for just a moment together, that as we do this, that God would help us to be submitted to his word and to one another. Lord Jesus, I pray even right now that in the name of Jesus, as we go to participate in this foot washing, Lord, I pray your will be accomplished in our lives. Lord, that we would be submitted, Lord, unto the word of God just because it is the word of God. Because it is right in your sight, Lord. Help us to do, to be submitted unto your word, unto your will, Lord, unto your purpose, Lord, even to be servants one to another and to be submitted one to another in the Lord for your will to be accomplished. Lord, I pray you would do it, Lord, in our lives, in this church, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be submitted unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, seven or eight guys, go right now and go get our water and come back. And then let the ladies have their privacy.